brought in unaware. That's something you want to be very careful of in these end times especially. It requires spiritual discernment. And this is a Greek word that you're warned about for people coming in that claim to be like you are, Christian. But they have altogether a different message because they let too much of the world slip in. You got to stick to God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse and let God do the speaking. Okay, open your Bibles if you would to 2 Peter chapter 2. And it reads, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in," this is that Greek word, peristikos, "in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." This word destruction is apalia, which that's the root of Satan's name. And he's their own little agents. If we were to back up the two verses in the prior chapter, we would find in verse 20, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is for any private interpretation." You don't get some big woo-woo trip, okay, for just your own entity. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." In other words, God brought that message. So don't let man mess with it. Don't let man change it. Don't let him rob you. "There were false prophets then, all the way from the beginning, from the time Cain and Satan himself starts the conspiracy." And the fact that the word means brought in, which means to bring in subtly, that's a conspiracy. Because they themselves, the Greek word didn't say they would slip in. That would be one entity. No, they're brought in. It's worked. It's planned to try to change the Word of God. You don't need that. We don't need it. Verse 2, "And many shall follow their pernicious," or their evil, "ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." In other words, if you teach the truth, they're going to banter it, deny it, don't want to listen to you. I'm sure many of you have experienced that people didn't want to hear the good news. And so it is. Verse 3, "And through covetousness," that's form fabrications, "shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." In other words, God's well aware of it. Many might think, "Well, how could anybody make merchandise of us?" Well, where were you last week? $700 billion. Who do you think that comes from? It comes from you. They merchandised us. The one world system, all the way back as you get into the one world monetary system. They made merchandise. "Oh, we'll be fine. God will take care of us." But stay awake to the Scripture. Know what's happening as it's going down, whereby you know where you are. And they may make merchandise out of some, but they're not going to you. Why? Because you're going to hold that line. You're going to stay with truth and fact, not a bunch of yo-yos that fabricate their own stories, which are not true. Verse 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved into judgment." This word hell here is only used in this place in the Bible. It's Tartarus, which is the holding place of the fallen angels. The only place it's used, and it's the place they are, and we'll read of them in Jude in a little bit. and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. He destroyed that was natural, the hybrids that the fallen angels had brought upon the earth, taking of Adam's daughters. That's written in Genesis chapter 6. God won't tolerate it. He said, I didn't put up with it then, and I'm not going to put up with it now. So you rest assured and be comforted. Our Father is still in control, and He knows exactly what's going on. Verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. You know, it seems that some people snuff at that, but God meant it. There wasn't anything left of Sodom and Gomorrah. Only Lot and his daughters got out of there. And it was destroyed. What? Unnatural. God will not tolerate that is unnatural. 7. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. It troubled him. It vexed him. He didn't like it. For that righteous man dwelleth among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. He had to put up with it the same as many of you do today. But don't worry, God keeps score. He gave this as an example of what's going to happen here at the end. When this earth, when the elements are destroyed, all that is tontion in the Greek, meaning the rudiments, that is to say the bad stuff. It's going down the tube. But the righteous, just as Lot was delivered, so will you be. Hold that line. Stick with that truth. No scripture is given for private interpretation. Just take the word of God, live with it, hold it, protect it, and beware of false prophets that try to change. Naturally, what did they do? They tried to make a god out of Satan. And so they will again when he comes in the form of Antichrist. So you want to be geared, you want to be prepared, and you want to know God's keeping score. Verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. He knows how to take care of those that love Him, and He knows how to punish those that go awry, those that won't listen. And so it is, and it is written, and so it shall be. It always comes to pass exactly as it's written. You can count on it. You want God's blessings, then follow the path set forth by Lot. Do it God's way and be blessed. For Lot was, out of all that destruction, Lot was blessed. The Lord knoweth how to deliver, verse 9, we got it, 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. They don't mind saying there is no God. They don't mind saying God doesn't exist. They don't mind making movies poo-pawing Christianity. Don't worry. God knows what's going on, and boy, will they suffer. Will they find out there is a God, and He's got their number. These were examples that all they have to do is read the Word, study the Scripture, to know what's going to happen to them if they continue against the Word of God. We're coming into that generation when they would like, better yet, to make more merchandise out of you. It's not going to happen because you're a child of God, and in Christ you are set free. No one, not even Satan, you don't have the mark of the beast in your forehead, meaning you're not deceived by anything he says, or any of the conspiracy that he would bring in, false teachers, false prophets, things of the world. You rise above it. You know better. And therefore, you have his blessings. What a time we live in that our Father protects his own always. Verse 11, Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not riling accusations against them before the Lord. What it's saying here is don't argue with Satan. Okay? What it's saying, just state the facts, period, that's it. That's all that needs to be done. Don't argue with him. Don't argue with any of his children. It's a waste of time. State the facts, deliver it, end of story, that's it. Don't waste your time, go plow a field somewhere else. Go plant a seed somewhere else. And that's the way our Father operates. This, if you go arguing with Satan, a lot of times many of you think, well, I planted that seed and I know how that goes. I should be able to make them see it. No, you can't. If God has blinded them, who do you think you are? There is no way you're going to have them see it. Okay. So therefore, you plant a seed and God makes it grow if he wants it to, or he lets it die. That the person makes the choice. And so it is. Again, don't argue with Satan or any of his cronies. State the facts, deliver the message, end of story. Verse 12. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. 7,000 of them, as it's written, is going to die in one instant when the two witnesses rise from the streets of Jerusalem. They blew it when they left their first habitation, as we'll read in Jude here in a little while. That's why it pays to be righteous, to do what's right, to try to do what's right. We all make mistakes. But when you try, God counts it perfect, okay, when you get your act back together. 13, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. They'll sit right by you and take Holy Communion. They'll do it. And try to put up the front that they're like you are. They're a Christian. Well, how can I tell? But what comes out of here? By how they live. By how they act. You know. So anytime someone tries to get you to go against the Word of God, or against the teachings of God, then you know what to do. Don't argue with Satan. Kick the dust off your feet and march. Okay. They'll play church with you. They'll try to even, maybe even say, my church is even bigger than yours. Why don't you join with me? The majority has always been wrong since the beginning of time. You know that from God's Word. Stay in the Scripture. It's for you. It's the letter from your Father telling you how to be blessed. 14, having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin. Beguiling, unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. And so they are when they turn away from God and harm his children. And hey, listen, kind of a hard thing to say, but they are cursed. And they're going to be cursed more so by our Heavenly Father if they don't get their act together. Again, when you plant the seed, if it grows, fantastic. You've done great. You've done great whether it grows or not. But the growing is left up to our Father, and the growth and the fruit thereof is our Lord's, okay? But do not expect a great deal from cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. This old preacher liked money so much, he just couldn't hardly handle it, okay? And the enemy told him, hey, we'll pay you big bucks if you'll come over here. And he approaches the Lord. And the Lord said, I may want you to go. Well, hey, he didn't wait. He saddled up. The next morning, he gets his money bag. And he's on the road. All on his own. Lord didn't tell him to go. You don't want to be like that. Wait on the Lord. He'll tell you when. The scriptures tell you when. You save yourself until the Antichrist appears, and then you allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you against him. What happened, though, to old Balaam? Verse 16. But was rebuked for his iniquity, for doing wrong. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. God used a dumb ass to tell Balaam, you're wrong. The dumb ass could see the angel that was standing in the path. Balaam couldn't because he wasn't with God. He wasn't right with God. He couldn't receive the message from God because he was out of God's grace. Listen and learn from the Word of God. Stay in the grace of your Heavenly Father, whereby you can see that one that he sends, even in the Scripture itself, the Word of God, not the word of false prophets, false teachers, and those that would mislead. It's kind of bad when God has to let an animal straighten a man, a preacher out, but he'll do whatever it takes, okay? These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. Let me ask you a question. You don't want to be like this, because what good is a well that doesn't have water? Well, let's figure that out. What's a well for? Well, you're supposed to have water. Well, it doesn't. They don't have water. You can't draw any water out of them. You can't draw any truth out of them if they're away from God. And there are clouds that will never moisten the earth. All they are is a bunch of fog. Okay, that's what God is telling you. They're good for nothing. So why would you want to waste your time with it? After you plant the seed, if it grows, fine. If it doesn't, hey, you've got other things to do. Verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they can preach. Ooh. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. In other words, they are so slick, if you listen to them, they can convince some that are under the blood, saved. But you see, Christ does the saving and you do the drifting. If you drift away, that salvation is to no avail. Unless you repent. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. He becomes a slave to it, is what it's saying. Okay? So you want to make sure that when big promises are made to you, are you smart enough to figure it out? Can you look at it? Example, let me follow through what God is telling you here. Hey, buddy, I want to tell you all something. I got the best well. It's running free and fresh. And if you'll follow me and believe me, I'll let you partake of that well. Now, God's already told you what? There ain't no water in the well. Okay. You'd be wasting your time. So don't be had by slick talkers. Okay. That claim to have the Spirit, that's what water symbolizes, is the Spirit. Okay? Christ is the living water. Okay? All others are dead as far as that's concerned. So you make sure that somebody doesn't sell you a bill of goods. I don't care. Like Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, hey, I don't give one inch to these super preachers. I don't cut them any slack. I may talk a little bold like a country person, but I lay it out like it is, and I can jerk the rug right out from under them anytime I want to, because I know the Word of God. That's the way Paul was. He didn't waste many words. He sure didn't argue with Satan, and he sure didn't go around buying any wells that were dry, okay? Because he could discern by the Spirit of God what was true and what was not. You know, you can waste a lot of time in your life by listening to false teachers. Biggest waste of time in the world. Well, how can I be sure? If they teach God's Word, pretty good, okay? If they're qualified to do it, fantastic. But if they're teaching something else, well, I have this little book you should read. Nothing wrong with reading literature, good literature, but don't let it replace God's Word. Or you're asking for trouble. Big trouble. So they can really speak, and they're sharp. They promise liberty. Verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. You can be a solid Christian and get sucked into that kind of machinery, and you're going down the tube, friend. A lot of people say, well, my church teaches once saved, always saved. That's true. Christ does the saving. He won't let you down. But you can drift so far away from Him with false teachers, He'll send you to hell. Okay, and that's where you deserve to be. You can't taste the good fruit of the Lord and Savior and the Word of God and want to listen to the entanglement of false teachings that are contrary to the Word of God, and the traditions of men make void the Word of God. Verse 21, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. I mean, they had it. They were home safe. 22, this is the sad part. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallow in the mire. I mean, clean that old sow up and take her to market, let her out of the pen a minute, and she's right back in it. Make sure you don't get away from false teachings and then get right back into it. And don't be misled by false teachers. Again, it's real simple. If they teach God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, that's a pretty good hint that things are going pretty good. It isn't all that important what man says. It's what God says. You know why? Because He's the judge. He's the one that judges you. And the way you live and the way you listen to His Word is the way you write your own judgment. Because He's always fair and He's always just. Okay, go with me to Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, and then it reads, I'll begin reading there. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Paul has been on a long journey teaching Gentiles, and he comes back to Jerusalem, and they still have the legalism, the legalistic way that Peter and some of them are still going by the old law of you don't mess around with Gentiles, and you don't do this, and you don't do that, when God sent Peter himself, when he sent Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, to say, hey, don't judge a man by what he is. Okay. If he loves the Lord, you better listen. You don't judge a man or call any man common. Okay, well, that's what Paul's been doing, is taking that message to those people. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also. Now understand about Titus, he was a Hellenist, meaning a Greek. I feel he was of one of the tribes, but he was raised Hellenist, okay? And it was not necessary at this time, under the teachings of Paul, for a man to be circumcised to have salvation, okay? Because circumcision now, in other words, Christ's blood on the cross settled for blood all one and all times. And to do circumcision for religious reasons is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Okay. Because circumcision now is of the heart, and it applies to both men and women. Okay. Verse 2. And I went up by revelation. You know what it means to go up by revelation? God sent him. Okay. And communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or have run in vain. In other words, I didn't want to overload their donkey all at one time, okay, being careful, okay, because they were very strict about their religionist, okay, legalism. Verse 3, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Didn't have to be. Verse 4, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in. Now don't forget, they didn't slip in. They were brought in. It was a conspiracy. It was planned. Okay. Brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. In other words, they were spying on them to the point they knew whether Titus was circumcised or not. Now, these are false people, false brethren. And you have brethren today that if they get a chance to start trouble, guess what? They're going to start trouble. They live to start trouble. Why? Because they serve a different Savior than you do. They love it. They relish it. They enjoy it. But mark Paul well, he was being very cautious, not overloading anybody's donkey here, being very patient with his way of teaching. Okay? But these did come in unaware and spied on them. 5, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. I didn't give them one inch. When they come down to that, I quit. I didn't give them one inch. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, oh, they were, you know, they claimed to be great leaders. Whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person, for they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. In other words, they had no knowledge that I was not aware of. Paul was a great scholar. He was a scholar, spoke many languages, knew the manuscripts, and was a servant of God. Went through a lot of hardships, but God always backed him up. He said, they could differ with me all they wanted to. It didn't make me one whit of difference. Don't you ever vary away from truth for someone's fancy ideas that are contrary to God's Word. Okay. You can handle it diligently and with respect, but handle it. Take care of business. 7. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, 8. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Okay. In other words, God, they're all God's children. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, you know what a pillar is? It's important. That's what holds the building up, okay? Perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go into the heathen, and they into the circumcision. There is a real beautiful thing hidden in the scripture there. Why was Peter not listed first in that 9th verse? And why was he called Cephas instead of Peter? Because Cephas means rock. And right in the middle, as Jesus would teach in John chapter 1, verse 42, you are the rock, the son of Barjonas, that Peter Cephas was, that created that pillar that was supposed to see truth and know truth. And there he's hidden between these two, hiding the rock from the eyes of those that are not supposed to see. But you are supposed to see, and you know that rock, and that rock is our rock. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 10, only they would that he should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. In other words, don't forget to send money. Okay, that's what it means. But Paul never took a salary, and he did a lot of teaching. The boys downtown would always say, hey, don't forget to send the bag. And so it was. That's legalism, all right? And it was important to them. Now, how can we sum all this up? Excuse me. We go to the book of Jude. And we follow up just a little bit on those that were condemned. Book of Jude. Right before the great book of Revelation. Excuse me. This is important. Sometimes it's important to listen to what necessarily is not said when it replaces simple salvation. Jude chapter 1, because there's only one chapter. Verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. That means God's elect. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Listen to him carefully. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, I just wanted to tell you how to get saved. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You've got to know there's an enemy out there. And you've got to have the faith to stand with it. You've got to have the can-do attitude because you know the Lord is with you. Verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares. There's our statement again. Crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. You can read of these in Genesis chapter 6, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever met somebody like that? Can't receive the truth, don't want to hear the truth, and they have their own religion, they have their own beliefs, And they just love to try to put that on you. But if it doesn't fit God's scripture, you better be careful because they crept in unaware. They were brought there for a purpose, to deceive you if possible. Verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance. I want you to remember this. Though you once knew this, how that the world that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. In other words, just because God saves someone out of the land of Egypt, it doesn't mean he's not going to destroy them if they don't do what's right. So just because God promises salvation, you better make sure you're in his boat, okay? That you're doing pretty well. Because if you're opposite of him, bye. Have a good trip. Verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And that's where it will be. And they'll die on that when that seventh trump sounds. Right, because they left their habitation. They were angels that fell. Nephilim, Napha, in the Hebrew tongue means fall. And boy, did they fall big time. They disobeyed God and caused God to have to bring about the flood of Noah. So they're going to pay. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, that means unnatural sexual events, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Our Father doesn't put up with it. And we're coming to that time that He's going to say, that's it. Because the trumps will sound, the sixth and then the seventh. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. They can't stand true Christians. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a riling accusation, but saith, the Lord rebuke thee. And that's how you have to handle it, beloved. Don't argue with Satan. Don't argue with false prophets. Don't argue with false teachers. Rebuke them, for God does. The Word of God is pretty simple when you stick with the Word. It can be very confusing if you let a false teacher stir it up for you. But as long as you follow it chapter by chapter, paying attention to the subject and the object, what is God telling us? God is saying, I get tired of certain things sometimes. And I have a way of putting a stop to it because I love my children and I'm going to protect them. Do you understand that's natural? Because you're going to protect your own children. Somebody starts hanking in with them, you're going to see that that is right comes to pass. Okay. Well, our Father is very natural. He's supernatural. And He sees to it that His children are blessed. Let's go to His throne. Heavenly Father, thank You again, Father, for the privilege of being allowed to serve You, Father. Be with this congregation.